Poker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Gimel, and we're holding right at the very first word of the daf. So up until now, we've been discussing the dinim of the Tfuyom, of the Onen, of course, the Kippurim, in terms of the Achila of, and the Chalukah, I should say also, the Achila and the Chalukah of the basar of the korbanot. Now we want to go on to see what other rites are provided to kohanim, and that, of course, the main issue is what to do with the or. What do we do with the hide? So the one place that the Torah mentions what to do is in the case of the oila. So it says hakohen amakriva tolat ish or haolah asher hikriva kohen lo yiyeh. You'll notice that that pasuk is a very strange pasuk. I mean, it's got a lot of extra words there. V'hakohen hamakrivet olat ish. It seems to be that the subject of the pasuk is the kohen. Okay, so he's a makriv et olat ish. Olat ish as opposed to what? Olat isha? What does olat ish mean? Could have just said hamakriv Eta ola, ora lako lo yiye. But instead, it starts off with the subject of a kohen, who's bringing the ola of an ish. Then it repeats or ha ola asher hikriv, which is entirely unnecessary. That's what we're talking about. Why do we have to repeat the ola asher hikriv, and then repeat again the word lakohen lo yiye? I mean, you see immediately how clumsy and how awkward and how overdone this pasuk is in repeating the central words, oila, oila, kohen, kohen, makriv, hikriv. What for? So based on that, we're going to be taking a look at the dinim of what to do with the or, and we start with the most obvious element of this pasuk, and that is kol shelo zacha mizbeach bivsara, lo zachu hakohanim beora. So if the mizbeach didn't get that process, there was no makriv, the oilas ish, then there was also no or ha'olah lakohen. And that is learnt out from the word olat ish, which is entirely unnecessary, and therefore must mean an olah that was actually brought and useful for that person. So in other words, it actually was brought up, and not that he just wants to keep the or, and something happened to the carbon before the mizbeach was zeichet to the basar of that carbon. However, an ola shenishkata shelo lishma. Now we've got this strange middle ground, because what happens if an ola is shechtet shelo lishma? The ola itself is kosher, but remember, that was the first mission in our entire mesechet, that in the event that it's l'shalo l'shma, so then it's true, lo ala l'balim l'shem chova. However, it is a kosher korban. So what about there? It's not the olat ish, but it is zocha ha-mizbeach l'besara. So interestingly enough, which seems to be a direct contradiction to what we just said, that it needs to be an olat sha'altala ish, we're now claiming that even though it was lo altala ish, meaning it was lo altala balim, the or itself goes to the Kohanim. So immediately the Mishnah begins with what appears to be a self-contradiction. Echad olat ha'ish ve'echad olat ha'isha. Now do not think for a moment that this means olat ish, only a male's oila. That's not the point at all. An orotem la Kohanim, whether it belongs to a man or a woman. How about orot of other korbanos? Orot kachim kalim. Well, the orot go to the same people who get the meat. And who is that? The owners. It belongs to them. And so too does the hide belong to them. Orot kachim kachim. How about, let's say, on a korban usha, or a korban chatas, or a korban zivche shlami? These are all actually talking about shel tzibur, of course, zivche shlami shel tzibur. So who gets the or in those cases? Well, that goes to the Kohanim, even though the Pasuk only mentioned the Or HaOlah. So how do I know that even all of those variations go to the Kohen? Kal v'chomer. If in the case of the Olah, where the Kohanim get no rights at all to the Basar, because of course the Oila is Kula L'Sham, Mizbeach, Mizbeach gets the Basar. Nonetheless, the Kohanim do get the Or, so Kosha came Kacha Kacha, where the Kohanim even get a pure portion of the Basar. And the Mizbeach only gets the various Chalavim that are the Emurim that are meant to be put on the Mizbeach. Of course you can, that the Kohanim get the rights to the Or, Eino Din Shi Yiskuva Ora, and don't try to tell me that's not a good Kavakomer, because the Mizbeach gets the Basar, and it doesn't get the Or. So you see that getting Basar is not the same necessarily, and doesn't imply that you get the Or. That's not a question. You can't bring a raya from the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach never gets Or, so therefore it has no rights. But once we know that there are rights, such as the case of the Kohanim, then it's a Kavachomer that those rights are even more reasonable and extensive if we're talking about the case of Kachin Kachin, where the Kohanim also get the rights to Basar. Tanarabbanan. So now let's take a look at the Braita that brings out the dinim that are learned from this pasuk in greater detail. The Tana Rabban. The pasuk said, Olat Ish. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says something different than what the Mishnah said. He says that Olat Ish means a personal Ola, but not an Ola of Hegdish. It's not clear what that would mean. What would an Ola of Hegdish mean? But the Gemara will get into that. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yodaimer, actually, it means prat lo olat gerim, which makes no sense, as the Gemara is going to put out. How in the world could olat ish mean not olat gerim? It's absurd, but we'll talk about it in a moment. First, let's understand what is even meant by the word prat lo olat hegdash, and then we'll understand what is meant by the word prat lo olat gerim. So prat lo olat hegdash, what does that mean exactly? Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, it means every single time, remember, that someone brought an additional animal as achrayut. So we can have lots of cases like that. We can even have a case of a chatas where you have achrayut, because although chamesh chataot hametot include cases where, let's say, the korban was lost, and then you took aside another one, and you brought it, and then you found it, then the din would be that it would be a chatat hameta, your originally carbon. But even by a chatas, if you initially put aside two behemoths for that chatas, choose one of them, the other one is left over, that's motarot of a chatas that are like any other motarot. And what's the din of such motarot? You will recall that ro'in, we let it go out, yera'u, achipo bomum, the Yimachru, and what do we do with the money that we sell after it gets on it? We put it towards Kayetz HaMizbeach. What's the Kayetz HaMizbeach? Those are olot that are brought as a dessert from the Mizbeach, so to speak, when it's not busy, and that is a din in the Tzibur. And the Tzibur brings that carbon. That's called the carbon that is brought from Hegdash. That's not called the carbon of an individual. So there, you've got this special halacha, and there is no din of giving the or of that oila to a kohen. That's what Rabbi Yehuda meant, says Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Says the Gemara, but that does not work according to everyone, because there's a big machlokas about whether motarot are actually given for that purpose. Maybe motarot are for something else, as we'll see, because there's a machlokas. If you hold according to that mandioma, who says that indeed we do buy these karbonis of the olas tzibur, kayetz hamizbeah, that's fine. So then Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef makes sense. But what about according to the mandioma, motarot l'nidvat yachid azle? There's also a shita that says that the person that set aside that extra karbon also gets to keep that carbon, and it's his, and then he brings the leftovers as his own personal carbon, and then it's not an Ola Segdash. So why would we not get the or? It can't mean that. Ma'ikalamema. So then what would we say is the meaning of this Nidvas Tzibor that we're talking about? Well, that's a reference, actually, to the word Or HaOla. That's where we were medayikin. Remember, we've got that famous drasha of what the word HaOla means. And that was the famous drasha of Rava, Av ubi'er alea hakohen etzim baboker, v'orach alea ha'ola. So what is the meaning of that ha'ola? Says Rava, that means ha'ola harishona. That has to be that first mentioned ola, which is the ola of the Tamid Shel Shachar. So that means that the word ha'ola, consistent with that drasha, here would mean essentially the same thing. Ha'ola, meaning the ola that we were dealing with initially. So if you set aside that ola, so then fine. If it's that ola that was initially set aside as the ola, yes, that is given to HaKohen HaMakriv. But suppose you had set aside a chata, so you had set aside an asham, and that was a leftover in Motarot. Then the Pasuk is saying, even though it's yours, but it's not the Ola Rishona, and therefore it does not go to the Kohanim. And that must be the meaning of what we say over here, even though it says Ola Hekdesh. It doesn't mean an Ola, according to Rava, that's owned by Hekdesh. That's not how to understand Rav Yehuda. It means an Ola that was initially your own, but not an Ola that became an Ola only because the dinim of Hekdesh, and not because you set it aside initially as a Hekdesh. That would be the point. It's a very different approach, according to the Man D'Amar, who holds that there's no such animal as a Kayitz HaMizbeach brought from Motarot. That's one approach. Rabbi Ivo Omer Rabbi Yanai, I don't think that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant. He meant Prat L'Matfis Ola L'Berek HaBayit. So supposing somebody has a korban oila, he gives that oila to the Berek HaBayit. Wow. So the din over there is, it's actually a machloket about whether the Berek HaBayit gets that oila, meteorita. And if it does, that would mean you'd have to first be poda the value of that oila from the Berek HaBayit, if they are the owners, so to speak. And then you could bring it as your korban oila. Now, even though Gavi seems to be otherwise busy, his magic wand hopefully is not too far, because this was a Gavi rule that we have to make sure was actually taken down. I'm pretty sure it was. And that is the klal, that kol haroi lemizbeach eino yotze mimizbeach la'olam. Once something is roi for the mizbeach, it never escapes the mizbeach. So the problem over here is that this korban oila is not going to be able to be kept away from the mizbeach. But the question is, do I have to pay the Berek HaBayit? Or do we say, look, you know, the Berek HaBayit doesn't really own it because it was an oila. So how could he give it to the Berek HaBayit? Okay, so this gufa is a machlokas in tmura. So one Man D'Amar holds that if you give it to the Berek HaBayit, the only meaning of the ownership of the Berek HaBayit is Ein Ba Ela Ikuv Gizborin Bilvad. All that they own in it is the fact that they are the owners and that they are the ones that are meant to be there. So the Gizbor has to be there when the Ola is brought, but Midiraisa, they don't really own it because you couldn't give it to them. Mashenkein, the other Tana holds that you need to pay the Berek HaBayit for the full value of that korban. So everybody agrees that at least Midrabbanan we want you to pay. That's true. But those who hold that actually it doesn't belong to the Berek HaBayit at all, it's a question whether the tfisa is there. Is it possible for there to be a kedushas damim above and beyond the kedushas haguf, which is owned for kedushas hamizbeach? So if you hold that the ola has the din of Berek HaBayit until you're paid it, so then you can't call it an olat ish, right? because it belongs to the Bet HaKabayim. So therefore, for sure, if you were matfis, said Rabbi Yonah, the oila to the Bet HaKabayim, for sure, according to the man the Amar holds, Kotshe Bet HaKabayim is actually teifes the ownership of that korban, even midiraita. So there it goes without saying that that is not an olat ish, it does not belong to you anymore. But afilu the man the Amar lo tafse, even according to the man the Amar, which says once something has kedushas hamizbeach, you cannot be matfis it to the Bet HaKabayim at all. That's true, but it's only true b'nogea the basar, because at the moment that you made it an erla, the mizbeach has the right to the basar, and as we said, once the mizbeach gets its claws, the wolf's claws, into something, you can't get it away from the mizbeach. But did the mizbeach ever own the or? No, the or was never meant to be the mizbeach. So therefore, hani mili basar. But everybody is made, even those who argue on the din of whether tfisa helps for a better kabayit on a mizbeach, on a kedushas mizbeach, when it comes to the or, it definitely does work, because the mizbeach was never meant to get that or anyway. And that's my chiddush, that in that case, it's not the or of an oilas ish, because the or itself, for sure, belongs to the Bet HaKabayim and not to the individual. And we find someone else who also seems to work in the same direction that we said about Reb Chiya bar Yosef, and that is V'chein Omer Reb Nachman Omer Rabba bar Avuah. It means Prat Bo'olah HaBa'ah Min HaMotarot. Okay, so we have two approaches so far. If it's talking about Olat Ish V'lo Olat Hegdesh, then it would mean as opposed to Kayetz HaMizbeach. If you hold like the Mandi Omar, who says Kayetz HaMizbeach does not come from Motarot, so then it would mean a case where someone was Matfis and Oila to the Bet HaKabayim, and since the Or definitely will get Kedusha of the Bet HaKabayim, it does not go to the Kohen. Omar Le Rev Hamnuna Le Rev Nachman. Now, the question that he agrees over here, Reb Nachman, to Reb Chiya bar Yosef, was attacked by Reb Hamnuna. Because Reb Hamnuna says, look, who were we going according to? We're trying to explain the Mishnah, Aliba the Reb Yehuda, and that was, we'll see what the Reb Yehuda Shita is later on, about the dinim of such an Eila that was brought min HaMotarot. But the thing is, we are about to see, and I'm going to show you, that Reb Yehuda changed his mind. And he agreed in the end that no, when it comes to those karbonas that are the Kayetz HaMizbeach, the Kohanim definitely do get the or. And if that's the case, how can you explain Reb Yehuda according to that Shita? You're coming to explain Reb Yehuda's Prat Bo'el Hazish. And Reb Yehuda himself changed his mind about Motarot. So how can you use the Shita of Reb Yehuda Legabi Motarot, and where he himself says, I don't believe in this anymore. And here is the famous situation that this deals with. And this is actually part of the very famous Haftorah, which we'll get to in a moment, about what happened with Yoyada Kohen in the days of Yoash. We're going to go over that to see how it fits into the Psukim. Because the Braita said like this. Remember that there were these 13 different shofarot. The shofarot were these enormous chests that were shaped in a shofar shape, in the sense that you could put money into the top and it would then fall to the bottom, but the top was very small, so that you couldn't get your hands in it, so nobody be able to steal the money that was put in there. And these shofarot were put in the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. And this came in response to that year in which the Kohanim had not taken care of the Bet HaKabayim. Remember the whole story. And there were 13 of them. And first, the first 13, those were chiyuvim. They were not for nedavos. And they were, remember, tackling chatatin, the new shekalim, the old shekalim from last year, if people still owed money, kinim, and then oilas ha'of, and then eitzim from the mizbeach, levona, and then zahav, which were used for the kelim. Then There were another six that were there, and those six were all for nedaves. Now, when we're talking about nedaves, okay, there's different types of nedaves. La'ola haba'a min ha-motarot, and those nedavot included the leftovers from Chatas V'Asham, and they were put into one of these shofarot, so that it would be known what to do with it, and to bring it in a way that the Kohanim would not make the mistake of taking any of the orot of those korbanos, because they didn't have the rights to it. Shelo yu ha-Kohanim zaka'im bora divi Rebbe Yehuda. So this was Rebbe Yehuda's opinion that you, Rebbe Nechemiah, were relying on. Now I'm going to show you that Rebbe Yehuda himself changed that opinion. And Rebbe Yehuda himself realized he made a mistake in saying that the Kohanim do not have rights to the Or in the Motarot. Because Rebbe Nechemiah said to Rebbe Yehuda, or some say Rebbe Shimon said to Rebbe Yehuda, if you believe that, and you're going to not give the Kohanim the Orot of the Kayetz HaMizbeach that's brought from Motarot, this is a disaster, because then bitalta midrasho sheYehoyada haKohen. How in the world could you even think such a thing? We have the famous Mishnah in Shkalim that describes the drasha of Yehoyada haKohen, and we don't see that anybody ever argued on that drasha. And now you are going to come along all of these generations later, and you've decided, Rebbe Yehuda, that Yehoyada haKohen was wrong? I mean, that's outrageous. Here's the Medrash, the Tanakh. This was the great medrash that Darash Yehoyada HaKohen. Since it says in the Pasuk that Asham Hu, Asham Asham LaHashem, what are those extra words of Asham, Asham? So that comes to tell me, now I have to give you the truth is a little bit of background to where this whole thing is coming from. We seem to have a contradiction in the Psukim. And this is what Yehoyada HaKohen was coming to address over there in Shkolim. Because the Ashom Hashem LaHashem, the Pashtas is that it can't be referring Stam to the fact that it's an Asham. I mean, the Pasuk has no information content. We just described the dinim of the Asham, and then we say, and it's an Asham, and it's because of Asham LaHashem, but that's how we started off. So it doesn't seem to make sense at all. And that's why it becomes the basis of Yehoyada HaKohen. Because the very words, Asham Asham LaHashem, implies that the korban belongs to Hashem. The problem is that the Pasuk says, Beferish, that that's not true later on, in Tzav, the very next parsha, because then it says Kachatat Kaasham Torah Achat Lahem HaKohen Asher Yechaper Bo Lo Yihye. Now make up your mind: is it Asham Asham LaHashem, or is it HaKohen Asher Yechaper Bo Lo Yihye? It actually belongs to the Kohen, and therefore comes along Yehoyada HaKohen, and he wants to make sense out of this supposed stira. So he says, I'll tell you what it means. It means that in the case of kosher ba mishum chatat umishum asham, yilakach bo olot. It's adding that if you have motarot of either chatas va'asham, because we compare kechatat ka'asham, therefore, what should we do with it? In part, it belongs asham la'ashem, and in part, la'kohen lo yiyye. How do I explain that? Take those motarot, the basar should go to Hashem, which means bring it as an oila, and the or of those korbanos go to the kohanim. Now, did Rebbe Yehuda ever say, well, I'll explain it? No. Rebbe Yehuda accepted what Rebbe Nechemiah said. I can't stand by my opinion that the orot don't go to the Kohanim if that's the whole way that Yehoyada HaKohen explained the entire story. And therefore, it became central to the understanding of the whole parsha of Yehoyada HaKohen, which says, in the end, that there should be absolutely none of the kesev that was brought for Echatas V'Oshem was not brought to the Kohen, which is like really weird. How does it end? Remember the end of that Haftorah? Kesev Hashem, the Kesev Chataot, Lo Yuva Bet Hashem, Lakohanim Yiyu, which sounds outrageous on the surface. And this is basically the whole point. This is how the Gemara knows that this was Yoyada HaKohen, because we were coming to analyze what happened at that time. So remember what happened is that B'shnat 23 Shana LeMelech Yehoash Lo Chizku HaKohanim Et Perek HaBayit. Normally, every year, the Kohanim would take the Nedavos, and they took upon themselves to take care of the Perek HaBayit. So the Melech Yehoash calls Yoyada HaKohen, and he says to them, remember, this is the Parsha Shkolim, this is what we read as our Haftorah. So he calls in Yoyada, and he says, well, from now on, no longer are you going to get the money from the Perek HaBayit, and we have to change the whole thing. Okay, so Yoyada Kohen sets up the Shofarot, and it says he took, remember, he takes an Aron, Vayikov Chor Bedalto, he puts it next to the Mizbeach, the Yamin of people that are coming in. Anyway, at the end of that whole story, that where that money goes, you'll say Hamalacha Yitnu, Chizku Bo B'Beit Hashem. And closing pasuk of that Haftorah is so wild. Kesev Hashem veKesev Chataot Lo Yuva Beit Hashem LaKohanim Yiyu. What in the world is that supposed to mean? Don't put the money into a pushka if you're bringing it for a Chatas or an Asham. Instead, give it to the Kohanim. Now, obviously, we're not going to give the Kohanim any money that actually is for a Chatas or an Asham. So this was the whole way that Yoyada Kohen explained the issue. But the point of it is that the Motarot actually are given to the Kohanim. Don't give that money to the Perek HaBayit. That's what it means, and it fits in beautifully. So this was Yoyada, apparently that's the whole point, that Yoyada Kohen was mechadesh that on the basis of what appeared to be a stira between Hashem LaHashem and on the other hand, LaKohen Yiyeh, which is a beautiful way to resolve the issue. In any event, if Yoyada Kohen is not going to be argued with by Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda does not offer any solution to Rabbi Nechemiah's kash on him, how could you possibly say that Motarot, the Orot, don't go to the Kohanim if Yoyada Kohen, back in the time of Yoash HaMelech, said this, and it became part of the whole tradition that we have about how it was that the Kesef was handled in the Beis HaMikdash. So now Mr. Rabbi Yehuda is going to change all of that. Did he answer? No. So therefore, it's clear that he changed his mind. So how in the world are you coming along and trying to explain the Mishnah utilizing the Din of Motarot, and that what was meant by Rabbi Yehuda was as opposed to the Orot of the Motarot of which went to Kayetz HaMizbeach, if he himself agreed that he was wrong? Says Rabbi Nachman. All right, I guess we got a problem. All right, so how do you explain it? How do you explain this strange idea of not Orot Hekdesh? Basically, I mean, we've got to understand something about what he means with Orot Hekdesh. So what do you think he means by Orot Hekdesh? Mar b'may mukimla. Says Rav Abnuna, it's very simple. The meaning of the Orot of Hekdesh, I believe, is a reference to the din of Mekade. Somebody was Magdish Nechasav, and this is a whole story also in the Mishnah, in Shkolim, and in Temura. What is the din of somebody who says, I'm giving everything I own to the Beis HaMikdash? Now, included in what he owns were actual live animals that were kosher, they were tamim, and they were perfectly useful to bring on the Mizbeach. But, I mean, if he says, everything I own, it means that he gave his Mercedes and his TV set to Hekdesh. Now, obviously, we're not going to put them on the Mizbeach. So that means that he was giving his things to the Perek HaBayit. And he wants the money, everything that it's worth, should go to the Perek HaBayit. Now, the problem is, what if he was Magdish Nechasav and he had kosher animals for the Mizbeach? Some of them were zecharim, and some of them were nekevot. What do we do with those animals? And remember, as we said before, you've got a real problem with that because of the din, that anything that belongs, that is roy for the mizbeach, you can't get the claws of the mizbeach off of those things. So what do you do with them? So here we find a machlokas. So Rebbe Eliezer says, I'll tell you what to do. You have to bring those zecharim on the mizbeach, but they're not owned by you anymore because you gave them to the Bet HaKabayit. So the Bet HaKabayit has got to get that money. How do they get that money? Sell these korbanos for people who are in need of a korban to fulfill a neder that they made. So they said, I'm going to bring an oila. Okay, we've got a great deal for you on a korban oila. We sell them that animal, and the Bet HaKabayit keeps the money, and meanwhile the korban gets put onto the mizbeach, which is exactly the resolution that we're looking for. But what do you do with the females? Because you can't put the females and say that they should be used as the oilas, obviously, because an oila has to be a zohar. Okay, so sell the females for people who need a female korban. Say somebody wants to bring a korban shlamim, sell him that, give the money to the Bet HaKabayit, and that means that the damehem yipluim shar nechasim lebet HaKabayit. And that way, the mizbeach always gets what it belongs on the mizbeach. Whereas the Bet HaKabayit, which was what he wanted the money to go for, gets its money. Rabbi Yoshua says, you're wrong. When the person gives everything he owns to Hekdesh, it does not necessarily mean that everything he owns has to go to the same place in Hekdesh. Actually, a person is mechalek kedashav. A person may make a difference depending on what it is that he's given. Some of the things might be given for the Bet HaKabayit, and some of the things might be given to the Mizbeach. So that was the Shaila. Rabbi Yoshua holds that the din is, person gives everything to one place when he's giving everything. But Rebbe Eliezer says, no, a person can be machalik his donations. Therefore, when he said everything goes, he meant everything goes to the most useful place where it's meant to go. If he has korbanas, then those he wants to put on the mizbeach directly. He doesn't want to give that to the Bet HaKabayit. Therefore, I say, says Rebbe Eliezer, says Rabbi Yeshua, the zecharim atzmam should be going to the mizbeach, make them olot. I understand the nekevot. Obviously, I can't make them a shlamim, because then who's going to eat the meat? Who's the bio? He doesn't have any right to the meat. He doesn't have any right to the olot. So sell them as olot, sell them as shlamim, and then take the money, and then the money is actually used to bring a korban oila, because he wanted it to be a mizbeach, given that it's kosher a mizbeach, and then everything else, the TV sets and the automobiles and his refrigerator, all of that goes to the Bet HaKabayit. So when Rabbi Yehuda said prat olas hekdesh, he meant these types of olot that are coming because somebody dedicated everything he owes to the Beis HaMikdash. That is an oila of Hekdesh. And over there, the Kohanim do not get the orot. Because basically, even though Rabbi Yeshua said, whatever could be brought onto the Mizbeach is the Mizbeach, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that you want to give it as much as possible as that should go to the Mizbeach. So therefore, if the orot are not meant for the Bet HaKabayit, so then, since we believe that, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the man has in mind whatever's the most effective use. So he wants, basically, to give the orot, which are not going to go to the Mizbeach, to the Bet HaKabayit, and not to the Kohanim. Since at the time that he made the commitment, he made the Nedava, it belonged to him. It didn't belong yet to Hekdesh, so he can do whatever he wants. And his Hekdesh is chal on the orot. Therefore, in this particular case, the Kohanim cannot get the Orot. So it makes perfectly good sense for Rabbi Yoshua even to hold that it means prat lo elas hekdesh, even according to Rabbi Yoshua, because afilu Rabbi Yoshua the Omer Adam cholek hekdesho, which is a concept. Maybe it's even worth a gabi note. Adam cholek hekdesho, this itself is a machlokas. When it says that he mixes his desire for it, and that means he would give it to the Mizbeach, he's only giving the basar to the Mizbeach, but the or, why would he want to give the or to the Mizbeach? And therefore, his matana to the Beit HaKabayit is toughest in this case for sure. It has nothing to do with motarot, it has nothing to do with the dinim of Kayetz HaMizbeach, and this is a perfect case where the or belongs to the Beit HaKabayit, and therefore the Kohanim are not able to eat that or, because it's not the Olat Ish. Perfectly. Makes perfect sense. Okay, now what about Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? That was so weird. Rabbi Yossi said Olat Ish means Prat La Olat Geirim. Now that's nuts. How could Prat? What does that mean? What? A Geir is not an Ish? What is this? It's crazy. Omar Le Ravina said, no, it's brilliant. Olat Ish means this has to be an Ola that is owned by someone. But it's possible for an Ola to be a generic Ola that's not owned by anybody. Well, how is that? If a person made the Ola, even if that person dies, then his heirs bring that Ola. Ah, but what if he doesn't have any heirs? What do you mean? How could he not have heirs? If he doesn't have any children, we just go up until we get all the way to Yaakov Avinu. I mean, he's got to be able to be giving it to somebody owns it. So one of his cousins, 340 times removed, owns it. So what's the problem? Because if you're talking about a ger who died without children, nobody owns it. That's the point. It just is a generic ayla. So therefore, prat l'ger shemeit ve'in lo yorshim is what is meant. There's a case where we have an ola that is not olat ish, because there's no ish that owns it anymore. Tana Rabbanan, olat ish. How do we understand that pasuk of olat ish? You might think that it means eli ela olat ish. How about olat nashim va'avadim? Now the Rambam's girsa over here is the ola of goyim. Olat goyim akum. Noshim avadim minayin, Talmud lomar, or ha'ola. Remember, as we pointed out in the pasuk, the word or ha'ola is a completely unnecessary repetition. You could just say ora, you don't have to say or ha'ola, because we were talking about the ola. So that's coming to be marba, even other cases. So then why did it say olat ish? If it means to include even a woman or a person who was akum and is not part of the dinim of b'chiyav of the ola? It means the Ola, like our Mishnah said, an Ola that was usable by the Ish and it didn't become possible. So, Prat L'Nishkata, Chutzis Mana, Chutzis Mekoma, if it was Pigol, then it's not the Ola for the Ish because it's possible. So, in that case, the Kohanim will not be Zocha Ba'ora because the Mizbeah was not Zocha Ba'Basara. Shelo Yu HaKohanim Zaka'im Ba'ora in that case. Now, you might think, Shani Marbesh Nishkata Shelo Lishma. How about, and here we finally get to deal with what appeared to be a contradiction in the Mishnah. First, our Tana in the Mishnah said that Olat Ish means it has to be an Ola that was Olala Ish, which seems to mean that it was kosher towards whatever Chiyuvim he had. Ola means it counts towards him. And then we turn around and we say, if it was Nishkata Shelo Lishma, and it doesn't count towards him, but it's still a kosher carbon, then the Kohanim do get the R. Isn't that a contradiction? So here we're holding exactly at the point of where we see in the pasuk to understand it to mean it includes any kosher carbon. So yochol shanim arba shenishkata shelo lishma, because since it's lo al tala ba'alim, after all, if it's shelo lishma, maybe a kosher carbon, but it certainly was not oila to the ish. So you might think, lo yu akonim zaka'im ba'ora. Ah, therefore the pasuk repeats, or ha'ola. I don't care what ola is, as long as it's a real ola, even though it's not an olat ish, mikomakom. And therefore, as long as on some level it's a kosher ola, that means Don't be so literal about the meaning of olat ish. It doesn't mean literally that it has to go towards the chiyuvim of the ish. Extend it to include any ola that was kosher to the ish. Now, how do I know that this applies to things besides the ola? It says over here only the or ha'ola. So, emi ela or ha'ola. How do we know other orot? How do we know the orot of a chatas, the orot of an ashram, the orot of zivchei shalmei tzibur? Talmud lomar, it adds the word asher hikriv. Now, what is the meaning of saying asher hikriv? Obviously, that's what we said, akohen ha'makriv. It started with that. Why are we repeating the words asher hikriv akohen? Therefore, they must mean to include even other korbanos. Anything that the kohen was makriv was considered to be orokos to him. So that's the asher hikriv. Now, you might think that that means that if the kohen was makriv shlamim, he gets to keep the or of the shlamim, even though the meat of the shlamim goes to the owners. So yoko shani marbe afkachim kalim. Talmud lomar, no, that's why the whole pasuk is focused on ola, and it keeps repeating ola. Why do we use the ola as a model? To tell me, ma ola kachim kachim, afko kachim kachim, and none of this applies to kachim kalim. Rabbi Yishmael agrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't ask for a pasuk to tell me that the Kohen has a right to kachim kalim. Our Mishnah says a kal v'chomer. If even in olam where the Kohen doesn't get the basar, he does get the or, koshikain, in other kachim kachim, where the Kohen gets the basar, koshikain, he's going to get the or. Here, we just found the braita that insists that we bring a pasuk for the rights. How is our Mishnah different? Because our Mishnah is actually going aliba the Rabbi Yishmael. And here's what Rabbi Yishmael said. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, it says in the pasuk or ha'ola, in the yellow ola, how do I know wrote of all kochei kochim? It's a kal v'chomer. As our Mishnah said, uma ola shalozachu bivisara, the kohenim didn't have any kind of basa there at all. It was kolel on the mizbeach. Nonetheless, who gets the or? The kohenim, zachu ba'ora, kochei kochim, where they were given the basa, eno din shezachu ba'oram. Now, Taina, but what about, doesn't the Mizbeach show that that's not a good kal v'chomer? The Mizbeach itself gets all of the basar and it doesn't get even the tiniest bit of or. So you see that being zochet to basar doesn't necessarily imply you're zochet to or. Yeah, but that doesn't prove anything. Because mala Mizbeach sheken lo zacha b'miksat, there's never a time that a Mizbeach gets or, because or is not meant to be put on the Mizbeach. But the Kohanim, where the Torah says beferish, that they do get the or, in the case of the, where it says beferish, the or ola goes to the Kohanim. So once there's zocha to or, it means that there's shayach to the or. Now I can make my kal v'chomer. So koshikin, in places where they're given the boser of kachim kachim, for sure they would have the or of the kachim kachim. Hora v'zochu b'miktsat. So since they have rights to orot that we know about, like the orola, so the kal v'chomer tells us there was zocha in all of the orot of kachim kachim. Rebbe Omer, now here we have another shita of Rebbe. Rebbe says, I have no idea why you guys are discussing how we learn from this pasuk, the others, do we have a kal v'chomer, do we have... The whole discussion is completely ridiculous. The reason that the Torah chooses the Ola is not because the Ola is a model. It's because the only case that needs exposition about what we do with the Or, the only case is the case of the Ola. Kol atzma lo tzrachnu lo l'ora ola bilvat. What to do with the Orot of Kachim is a given, except in one case. And that's the case of Ola. I'll tell you why. Because when you look all over, you find shebechol makom ha'or mahalech achar habasar. The Torah takes for granted that the din of the or is the same as the din of the basar. Whatever the halacha of the basar is, that's going to be what the halacha of the or is. And this whole idea of needing this separate mishnah here in Tfuyon is not really meaningful. You're acting as if The din of the achilas basar and the din of the rights to the or are two completely different things, and we need psukim, or we need kal vachomer. It's nonsense. It's not true. The din of the or is a direct application of the din of the basar. Take a look at it. Let's take a case, okay? I'll show you every single case that the or has the same din as the basar. Let's take the case of the Purim HaNisrafim, or the Seirim HaNisrafim. So we've got all of those karbanas that are brought as chataot pnimiot, and we're supposed to burn them afterwards in the Beit HaDeshen. And it says beferish in the pasuk that the meat is burned and the or is burned along with them. Ve'et ha'par, et oro, ve'et besoro. Beferish. The or goes together with the basar, saraf, be'esh, bichutz l'machaneh. Fine. Let's take a look at the chatas. Let's take a look at the asham. Let's take a look at the zivchei shalmei tzibur on Shavuos, right? Okay. Those things are given by the Torah to the Kohanim, and we never see, show me in the pasuk, that the pasuk says, remove the skin. When you talk about the or of the oil, what does it say? Vihivshit. Does the Torah say that you have to be mafshit achatas? No, the words are completely missing. Does it say to be mafshit an asham? Does it say to be mafshit zivchei shalmei tzibur? Not a word. Now, where the Torah wants you to strip off the skin, it says so. Vivshit et ha'or, it says so beferish. If it doesn't say vivshit et ha'or, it means leave the or on, and now what do you do with the or? Whatever you're going to do with the body is the basar. It says to give that basar to the Kohen. That would mean, by definition, it has to include the skin, because I never told you to take off the skin. So therefore, we give it to them, and they can do whatever they want. It's a straight-out matana l'Kohen. Now, if the Kohen wants, they can take the skin off, and they can make it into a water bottle. If they don't want to take the skin off, and they prefer to barbecue everything together with the skin, fine. Lo ratzu ochlim otam gaboran. They can eat the meat while it's still attached to the skin. When it comes to kachikalim, what happens over there? Same thing. Does the Torah say anything about stripping the skin? Absolutely not. And that goes to the balim. What did the balim do with the skin? I don't know what they do. Maybe they use it for soda stream. So they can do whatever they want. They can be mafshitino tam, rotsu. If rotsu, they can be make a barbecue together with the not bother being stripping skin. Rotsu, chlino tam, gabi oran. So why do I need to explain to you what to do with the skin, for heaven's sakes? There's only one place I need to know what to do with the skin. And that's the one place that the Torah says, strip the skin. Okay, so if you strip the skin, what do I do with it? Therefore, now the Torah has to say, okay, now that you've stripped of the skin, the Or HaOlah goes to the Kohen HaMakrivota. It makes such good sense. And you guys are running around in circles. Well, how do I know what to do with this? Maybe I have a pasuk, maybe I have a kavachom. You don't need anything. This is a pasuk that is addressing the one issue that it needs to address, and stop making it models or anything of the sort. So that means that the entire idea is simply to tell me, since it said, so you might think, okay, the Torah said that I'm supposed to strip it off and put the basar on the Mizbeach, and it never said anything about giving Kohanim any part of an Ayla. Maybe they don't get the Or. Therefore, I need the Pasik Or Olah Sheri Kriva Kohen. That's Lo Yihye. And when you go on to say that Lo Yihye, that means that it has to be to the Kohen who brought the Olah, means he had to have been roi to bring the Olah. But if he's a Tvuyom, or Mechuzer Kippurim, or an Onen, and he's not roi, then it's not his. So Prat Tvuyom, Mechuzer Kippurim, the Onen. Because I might have thought that, look, Shuyachal lo yizku b'basar, it makes sense that they shouldn't get the meat, because the meat's meant for eating, and they can't eat. Shula achila. But you would have thought, okay, but why should they not be able to get the or? The or is not meant to be eaten, and therefore they should get the same rights as, even though he's a Tvuyomer Mechuzer Kippurim. That's why it stresses again. Lo yihye, Prat l'machus kippur tfu yom va'onen. All you needed to say is yiyeh. The lo yiyeh means the very coin I was talking about at the beginning of the pasuk, which is the coin of makrivoto, lo yiyeh, and not to someone who wouldn't be able to do the akrova. Hey, wait a minute. So how come the Tanakhama, who used the pasuk to tell me this is a remez to kachi kachim, and so why didn't he just learn it out from the kavachomer? I mean, Rabbi Shimon said a kavachomer, and he's bringing me a pasuk to tell me a din that I don't need a pasuk for. True, very true, but milta da ati be kavachomer torah v'kasav lakra. You can't ask on someone why he wants to bring a pasuk if there is a pasuk. Oh, that's true. But then that would mean that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no pasuk. Meaning that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that pasuk is coming to tell me something else. Well, what according to Rabbi Shmuel is Asher Hikriv coming to add? Since he already knows that the din of the Achila he knows from the Kal Vachomer, and if it's not there for any other purpose, why mention your Kal Vachomer if you have a pasuk? So what's that hidden purpose? Rabbi Shmuel, why is Asher Hikriv not a good pasuk to bring, and you bring the Kal Vachomer? Why do you need those words, Asher Hikriv? That Asher Hikriv means what you just said you learned from Lo Yiyeh. Asher Hikriv means you have to be Roy to be Makriv. But if you're a Tful Yom, or Mechus HaKippurim, or an Onen, you don't have the rights. But you don't need the Asher Hikriv for that. I thought we just learned that from Lo Yiyeh. Why doesn't Rabbi Yishmael learn that from Lo Yiyeh? That's because Rabbi Yishmael is going according to his own shita that we had a long time ago. And that was, actually a long time ago, but 3 weeks ago we had this, that we had the whole discussion of what he does with Lo Yiyeh, because Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Yishmael as saying, there's a gzera shava. It says by the Korban Ayla Lo Yiyeh. That's the Lo Yiyeh that we just brought. And it says by the Korban Asham the same words. Kachataka Asham, Lakad Hakohen Asher Yechaperbo Lo Yiyeh. So what's the point? That was the question that we were talking about, whether you can make the challah knife handle out of the bones. Remember we talked about that? And you told me the name of that woman in Joburg that makes those beautiful challah knife holders? Yes. What's her name again?
Carol Boys.
Okay, she's still in business? Okay.
She is, but she doesn't make so many knives anymore.
Ah, okay, because she was such a hit 20 years ago. It was like the big thing. Okay, so that was the raya that you're allowed to use the atzamais of the karbanais to make a challah knife handle. So just like of the Asham, we know clearly that Atzmotava Mutarim, because he was given the whole thing to do what he wants. He eats whatever he eats, and the rest of it he used for what he wants. So you might have thought the Eila, well, I mean, there the Basar goes on the Mizbeach, so maybe if you have Atzamais, they're not given to the Karnim to use. So Afkan Atzmotav Mutarim. Now, since Rabbi Yishmael uses that Pasuk of Lo Yiyeh, and what we said before is, I sure hope this is an extra Pasuk and it's Mufne, because if not, it's a little ridiculous to make such a comparison. Because Ilo Mufne, I mean, isn't it obvious that there's no comparison? The Asham, the Basar is Mutar, it's given to the Kohanim. But the Yoyla, the Basar is Asar to him, so maybe the bone is also Asar. And Rabbi Yishmael explained over there, yes, 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 it's mufna, because the lo yihyeh is unnecessary over here by the oila. So see how beautiful it is? If Rabbi Yishmael had agreed with the drasha that we said before, like Rabbi, that lo yihyeh means as opposed to the tful yom, so then he wouldn't have had the lo yihyeh as being mufna, and then he couldn't have made that gzera shava. But since he has his kal vachomer, he takes the pasuk asher hikriv to tell me the same din that you learned out from Lo Yiyeh, leaving the Lo Yiyeh free to be the mufna of the gezeirah shava to the asham, and the Lo Yiyeh therefore tells me that you can go into that store and buy that challah knife for Shabbos. Excellent.